Sam, you had us going there for a minute. I didn't think it was too high. Oh, it was great. But anyway, we appreciate all of you that are here this morning. And, you know, that song suggested something, and I got to thinking about a moment ago. The very first verse of that song says, I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus really does take our prayer to the Father? That's why we pray in His name. And the Bible, even in the book of Romans, says that the Holy Spirit maketh groanings for us, which we cannot utter. The Bible says that Jesus, there is only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. And I'm thankful today that He is by the right hand of Almighty God making intercession for you and I when we bring our prayers before our Father's throne. Have you ever wondered sometimes whether or not your prayers have been answered? I want to talk a little bit this morning about unanswered prayer. Because I think sometimes many of us pray before the Father and we often wonder whether or not God is listening. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her young boy in bed like most mothers would do. She was about to turn the light off when he asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? And she said, Johnny, you go in there and go to bed and you pray unto God and He will calm your fears. Well, with the reassurance of the mother, the little boy went to bed and said his prayers. But there was another big clap of thunder. And the little boy got up again and he went into his mother. And he said, Mother, will you sleep with me tonight? I'm so afraid. And she said, I can't, dear. I have to sleep with your daddy in his room. And a long silence was broken at last by the shaking little voice who said, The big sissy. Sometimes we feel that maybe God isn't listening to us. We pray our prayers, but are they answered? What keeps my prayers from receiving ready answers? Well, the Bible in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 7 through 12, gives the answer. And if you'll shift your eyes up here, if you haven't done so as of yet, I want to share with you this morning why I really believe that sometimes our prayers do not receive an immediate answer. Peter writes, Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore or thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, in that text, Peter mentions a number of things, I think, that really cause our prayers to be hindered. And I think that one of them, obviously, is found up in verse 7. But when we think about hindered prayers, there are a number of things that come to mind. Do you realize what prayer is in actuality? Prayer is an important part in the life of a child of God. Where would we be without prayer? We pray publicly here with one another. We do it collectively. When one is up here leading us in prayer, we should be praying with that person. And so it is an important part in our life. It should be. It is when we talk to God, according to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Prayer is when we thank Him and when we praise Him and even pour out all of our sorrow and our cares to Him. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that we are to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. No, we certainly know that prayer can accomplish a lot of good. For in the book of James 5:16, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And I'm persuaded today that when God's righteous people in the Lord's church are praying, much can be accomplished and much can be done. No wonder Paul said that every saint or every child of God should be prayerful. We are to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. And none of us should desire that our prayers be hindered, but that we need to realize that they can be, and they often are. Well, how do we open the doors of heaven this morning? If God says we can pray, and if prayer can be heard, but on the other hand, our prayers can be hindered, how do we open the door of heaven for God to answer our prayer? Sometimes when we pray, we feel like there's a great big roadblock up in our way, and we just cannot get through. Our prayers can't get through to God, and so for some reason or another, we don't receive an immediate or ready answer from God. Well, just what are those hindrances? Well, I could probably give you a lot of them today, and there are many of them. Sometimes they're just kind of like a brick wall, and we hit that running, but it doesn't do any good. And our prayers just do not get through to God. Well, let's talk about some hindrances this morning to answered prayer. Number one, I think that our prayers are hindered because of our infrequency of praying. How often do you pray unto God? Stop and think about it. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says that we lust and that we have not, we kill and we have not because we ask not. And many times it is true. Do you realize that Jesus Christ prayed often? We read of His prayer, the probably the most monumental of all of His prayers, not in Matthew 26, but in John chapter 17, where He is actually praying before the Father and acknowledging His desire to be with God. He says, "Glorify Me now with Thee as I was with Thee before the world was." It certainly was a part of the life of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, they were a praying people. They were abounding in the will of God. But sometimes our prayers are hindered because of our infrequency. God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear about our cares and our sorrows. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. But many times we just don't seek Him in prayer. That's why Christ taught in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke in verse 1 that men ought always pray and faint not. We should always pray. We need to be persistent in prayer, to do it without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we go ahead with a long face or perhaps our head bowed all the time, but it does mean that we pray unto God. I believe that God answers prayer. Do you believe this morning that God answers prayer? Amen? Amen. Sure He does. I heard about a lady one time named Ida, who was slowly recovering from a heart attack. And she went to her cardiologist and she said, "Doctor," she said, "could you please keep me, I know I'm sick, but could you please keep me alive for 2 more years? I want to attend my first grandchild's graduation." And the doctor says, well, very compassionately said, "Well, we'll do what we can. We'll do our best." Well, in due course, Ida gratefully attended the festive occasion of the graduation of her first grandchild. But sometime later, she again spoke to the doctor and said, "Doctor," said, "you've been so good, and my granddaughter is going to be married in about 18 months. Could you please help me stay alive for that 18 months so I could attend her wedding?" And the doctor says, "Well, we'll do the best that we possibly can." and the lady happily attended the granddaughter's wedding. Well, 10 years passed. I had a visitor cardiologist regularly and followed his instructions religiously. And one morning she called him and she said, "Doctor," and she began this way, "I'm feeling fine, but I have another request to make of you." She said, "You remember how you allowed me to go and attend my grandson's graduation?" He said, "Yes." "And you remember how you helped me stay healthy where I could attend my granddaughter's wedding?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, as you know, I've just celebrated my 80th birthday. And I just bought myself a new mattress." He said, "Yes. And it has a 20-year guarantee." You know, a lot of us kind of put God on the spot, I think. Sometimes we pray foolishly and selfishly before God. We want God to answer our prayers immediately when we pray it. But sometimes we never go to God in prayer unless we have some kind of trouble or problem going on in our life. We do not pray with any degree of frequency at all. Sometimes I wonder, when we eventually get before God, does God look at us and say, now who are you? Sometimes our prayers are hindered because of apathy. We generally know what apathy is in life. It is a lack of concern. We're not concerned about anything. We're certainly not concerned about going before God to bring our petitions before Him. Prayer, again, is when we talk to God. But oftentimes, we refuse to listen to Him. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. You know, God speaks to our heart. I'm not saying God speaks to us in a loud, audible voice, but I believe that God does speak to our heart. And when we pray, we say, "God, help me to make the right decision." When you make a decision, do you believe God answered your prayer? I do. I believe that God puts it in our heart, what we are to do. I've said it many, many times. How else would you know whether or not God had answered your prayer? I believe that He does. I believe His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. If we're not willing to listen, why should He respond to our prayers? Sometimes there are all kinds of prayers that we pray. There are what we call the dare prayer. We dare God to do certain things. Sometimes there's the scare prayer. We are scared, and so we go before God in our fear, in our scare, and we ask God to help us. Sometimes there's the flare prayer. We want to flare, make it real flaring here. Make sure God listens to us. And then there's the care prayer, where we go and take our cares before God. Let us learn to love, to hear and to heed, that our prayers are not hindered. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. The Bible said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel," listen, "walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish," he says. Sometimes our prayers are hindered by doubt. When you pray, do you always pray in faith? The Bible says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." But many times we pray doubting. It's like the man we went to pray with in the hospital one time. I think I told you about that, Owen and I. And we asked him if he would like for us to have a prayer. And he says, "Well, I guess it ain't going to hurt nothing." Well, now, what does that say to you, folks? We pray sometimes with doubt in our heart. We don't believe that God's really going to respond to us. Why do we even go to God and ask if we don't believe He's going to give an answer? Again, James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Let us ask in faith, nothing wavering," he says. Listen to it. "For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. It's driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Let us have faith that God hears and will answer the prayer of the faithful. He said he would. Mark chapter 11. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We say that often, but many of us do. We walk by sight. Have you ever heard people say, "Well, I just can't see my way clear to do that. Can't see my way." You know what God says? Wait a minute, you got it wrong. We walk by faith and not by sight. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." When we pray by faith. And praying by faith doesn't just mean we believe that he's going to respond. Praying by faith means that we pray within the will of God. It's not like you say, "Well, I pray that I'll win that big lotto." That's not the prayer of faith. That's not what he's talking about. You have to pray within the will of God. The Bible says, "If anything we ask in his name according to his will, he heareth us." You pray believing, but you also want to make sure that you pray within the will of God. But let me tell you another thing. What hinders your prayer could be typical of what hinders the prayers of a lot of people, and that is wrong relationships. By a wrong relationship, listen, a wrong relationship, people get upset with one another. I don't know about you, but we often get upset with one another and we apologize. Let me tell you something. An apology does not always mean that you are wrong, but that it means that you value your relationship with that person more than anything else. It doesn't mean that you're always wrong because you go apologizing, but you apologize because you love and you appreciate the relationship with your fellow man or with whoever. By wrong relationships could be that you have a relationship with a fellow man, or maybe that relationship has been severed. It could be in our marriage. Sometimes there are people that develop wrong relationships. Their marriage is not within the will of God. It is a wrong relationship. They do not have the right to remarry. Sometimes in today's world, in the body of Christ, we have almost accepted anything and everything. Doesn't make any difference whether you're living in adultery or not. Can prayers be hindered? Absolutely. By wrong relationships. It could be maybe a bad relationship between a man and his wife. Could be husbands. Husbands make mistakes. Every now and then. We do. But wives make mistakes also. The Bible says the husband is to love his wife, Ephesians chapter 5, as Christ loved the church. And the wife is to see that she honors and reverences her husband, that she is to love him as he is to love her, to make sure that relationship is right. And when mutual love, respect, and consideration abounds in our marriage, not only will peace and harmony prevail, but husband and wife can be united together in prayer to God. Now listen again to what Peter said a moment ago. He said that our prayers can be hindered when the relationship is not right between a husband and his wife. That's what he says. So we need to make sure that relationship is right. But our prayers can be hindered by an unforgiving spirit. Number 5. Most of us would want God to forgive us. We do. We go before God. But you know what? It's difficult for us to say these two words. "I'm sorry." Did you realize that? How often do you say that to someone? "I'm sorry." Meaningful when you say it. I'm sorry. Maybe what I said, what I've done. An unforgiving spirit hinders our prayers. Now, by an unforgiving spirit, Jesus prayed in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. He prayed, "Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." How in the name of heaven can we go before God and ask God to forgive us when we are so unwilling to forgive other people? We all make mistakes in life, and we all stand in need of the forgiveness of Almighty God. Let me tell you something. You'd be going to hell had it not been for the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of our Lord. And God teaches us that we are to have that same forgiving spirit. How many times, people ask, must we forgive those who sin against us? In Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus one time and said, "Master, how often should I forgive?" And he even tried to answer, he tried to put the words in the mouth of Christ. When he said, "Seven times?" And Jesus said, "I say unto thee, not seven times, but seven times 70. There is no limit to your forgiveness, no limit. It's like my forgiveness. There is no limit on the forgiveness of God. And there should be no limit on our forgiveness of one another. Our willingness to forgive does not negate God's conditions of pardon. Let me tell you something. In the book of Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, "I tell you, you must repent." One of the big questions that people ask many, many times is this. Well, you know, what does it mean to forgive? And how do I forgive? And should I forgive when they have not really repented of their wrong? Should I still forgive them? Let me tell you what you do. You dismiss it from your mind. And there again, it does not negate the fact that someday they will stand accountable to God in heaven for their sin, whether it is against you or whether it is against your brother or sister or someone else. There's still a higher court to whom they stand accountable. I'm not going to go through my life holding animosity in my heart toward anyone that could damn my own soul in hell. I'm not going to do it. It's not worth it to me. My soul and my hope of heaven is of greater worth. We must have a forgiving spirit. Our prayer for forgiveness is hindered when we are unwilling to forgive. For Jesus said, if we cannot forgive one another, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26. But then there's another thing that hinders God listening to our prayer and responding to it, and why we don't receive a ready answer, and that is because of our own sin. My sin not only separates, or rather hinders my prayers, but it separates me from God. It does. I know that's true because in the book of Isaiah chapter 59, the Bible says so. By sin, someone has said, prayer keeps one from sin, but sin will keep one from prayer. David and others reveal the effect of sin on our prayers. There's a little passage found over in the book of Psalm 16. I want to get it. Here it is right now. In Psalm 16 and verse 18, really, really important passage, David says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me." Do you know what that means? It means that if I have sinned and I regard it, that is, I hold on to it, and I don't really repent of it, God, listen to it, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I could pray all day long. I mean, I could pray all night. I could go to the prayer tower. I mean, I could, you know, we could pray. All of us could be praying about it. And if I'm not repentant, God won't hear it. God won't hear it. That's why it's so important that we get rid of our sins and go before God. The Bible clearly teaches that sin separates man from God, Isaiah 59. The Lord's arm is not so short that he cannot reach you, near as his ear so heavy that he can't hear you. But your sin and your iniquity have separated you from your God. It's a serious issue. And all these people in the world that keep offering up these prayers before the throne of God, knowing in their own heart that they are sinners and that they are unrepentant of their wrong, you listen. Your prayer doesn't get any higher on this roof. It probably doesn't even get that high. And we play games with God like that. We go through motions. The Pharisees were real good at it. They loved to stand on the street corner praying to be seen of men because they knew that they weren't going to be heard by God. They knew what Psalm 66:18 said. They'd heard it. They read the Psalms. They know what God does and what he doesn't do. And so they were praying just to be, they were very pretentious in their prayers. They were saying things. They might have even been saying the right things and calling on the right God. But they were not sincere. They were not sincere. And so God did not hear them. The child of God or the saint of God must repent and confess his sin in order to be reconciled to God. That's what John says in 1 John 1, verse 7 through 8 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the sin that is unrepented and unconfessed is a sin unto death. John says, and I tell you, you should not pray for it. Would it be facetious for me if I'm going to continue to be a sinner to go before God and say, God, just please forgive me of my sin that I'm not going to repent of? Not sorry about it. Not going to make any changes in my life, but God, forgive me. Doesn't happen. Repentance in the Bible always preceded prayer for forgiveness. Go through the annals of the Bible and you'll find it to be true. In the book of Acts chapter 8, when Simon sinned against God, he was told by Peter to repent and then pray God that the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. You don't pray and then repent, but you repent and then you pray. Listen to the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God spoke of his nation. He said, if my people who are called by my name will repent and seek my face and pray, he says, then I will hear from heaven. When? When they repent and when they pray. Not when they pray and they repent, but when they repent, and that means to change. It doesn't just mean you're sorry about the way you've been living. It means that you're sorry enough to change your lifestyle. And then before God, you repent and you seek his forgiveness. So let every one of us turn away from our evil and do good, that our prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3. But last of all, our prayers are hindered oftentimes by pride and self-will and rebellion. And when we think of pride and self-will and rebellion, we think of a number of people. I think about King Saul, the first king of Israel. Saul was a good man. God didn't pick evil men to honor him, but he picked good men. But sometimes good men go wrong. Saul was the first king over Israel, reigned for about 40 years, and God had told him at one point to go down to the Amalekites. He told Saul to destroy the Amalekites, the animals, everything. And I'm going to tell you something. If God had weapons of mass destruction, Saul would have used them. But he didn't. He didn't. And because of his refusal to do the will of God, God brought Saul into judgment. For Saul, in his own logic and in his own reasoning, decided that he would spare Agag the king. God told him to destroy him, but he brought back the king. He told him to kill all the animals, but Saul decided that, hey, there's something I'd like to bring back and sacrifice unto God. And so he did. He decided that he would save the spoils of battle and bring those back as well. And God sent Samuel unto Saul to reckon with him over his sin. And Samuel said, "What is this bleating of the animals that I hear? What is all of this?" And he began to convey unto Samuel what he had done. And Samuel rebuked him, and he said, "God delights more in obedience than he does in sacrifice." And we know that eventually Saul was dethroned and lost his life because of his pride and his self-will and his rebellion against God. Remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18? Now that Pharisee thought he was something else when he stood in that temple that day to pray. He began to extol all of his great and wonderful virtues before God, and the publican just smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That man obviously repented and had a change of heart before he went to God. But God says of him, "This man goes down to his house justified, more so than this Pharisee." We need to learn from the mistakes of others and from our own mistakes and humbly submit ourselves unto God. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says that God lifts us up when we do that. What a shame it would be for our prayers to come before the throne of God as an abomination. But did you know in Proverbs chapter 28, the Bible says that our prayers can even be an abomination in the sight of God when they're not offered in the will of God, when they're not offered sincerely and in the right way. Or in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 12, Jesus made it possible for us to go before God in prayer. He did. And for us to attain salvation. He shed his blood. He opens his heart and his life to us. And it is through his shed blood that you and I have the hope of heaven. That you and I can approach our Father in prayer. And God's plan of salvation is just as pronounced in the Holy Scriptures as his plan for praying is pronounced as well. For Jesus Christ taught that we must hear that word of God. Paul echoed it as well in the book of Romans 10 and verse 17 when he said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You can't obey what you don't know. You can't be responsive to something you haven't heard. And that's why we preach the gospel of Christ. There are always those, perhaps maybe in an audience like this, that don't know the will of God. Preachers get up and offer invitations all the time. And the generic invitation goes something like this: if we can help you, come down to the front. Well, they don't know whether you can help them or not. I'm telling you, if you're willing to hear the gospel and you're willing to repent of it and you're willing to believe it with all of your heart, and you're willing to confess Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live faithfully committed unto him, listen, God can help you, and we're willing to assist you this morning in doing that while we stand and while we sing.